We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. We are broadcasting live at Joe Mama's. We are here in Colgate, Wisconsin. The Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. And thanks to everybody for coming out. Thanks to Joe for having us. We are glad to be here on County Line Road Q out here in Colgate. Like I had mentioned, it's a terrific place. It's good to be back again this year. We were here last year, and Joe treated us like gold. So we said, we're coming back. And we've been out here a couple of times throughout the summer on motorcycle rides and such. But thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. Joining us, the grand poobah of all sports, it is Wisconsin. Our buddy Tom Pippins, former sports director at Fox 6, is here tonight as well. How you been, man?
Doing great, buddy. And yeah? I'll tell you, it's so good to be with you. And as for Joe Mama's, I saw that salad. I'm all about it. The food here is fabulous, isn't it?
It's awesome. When we ride in the summertime motorcycles, we usually come out and make it a point to stop here. I live maybe 20 minutes from here,
super,
and this place is fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
I would invite everybody to come out. Great people, too.
Yes.
Great Packers fans. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Yeah, packed house tonight.
There we go.
Packers going to win 23-22. They knock off the Detroit Lions in fine fashion, last-second fashion, as a matter of fact. They go to 5-1 on the season. Pip, first and foremost, what everybody's talking about this week is the officiating. And on one hand, I understand it, bad calls. On the other hand, if you're going to score more, you're going to win more games.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way I left it for Detroit. We've been on the losing end of that a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely. So if they get a break or two, someone was saying that Bakhtiari was complaining that maybe he did have a hand or two in the face earlier, and maybe that kind of swayed the – and as you know, that game now is so fast, Bill. Mm-hmm. They're so big and strong, and so much goes on so quickly that it's difficult. But definitely the officiating leaves something to be desired.
Has the officiating diminished the league this year? With all the complaining, or as it Jerry Jones put it, everybody's talking about it, so any publicity is good publicity.
And, of course, he's all about the money.
Absolutely.
So, right, yeah. But I think if this were to continue, it would really – it seems to bog the game down, you know.
Right.
And I think once these officials, not consciously, but they do interject themselves into the result of the game – or a key drive or a call or something that may influence the final outcome in terms of who's going to score more points. So in that regard, it's been disappointing, and it just seems to happen. I think it was John Kuhn who suggested, the former Packer, why not an incentive system, you know? I mean, look, you've been doing your job at a Hall of Fame level for eons. if you're not doing your job, you're not on the radio. So maybe more accountability is needed, taking into account that it is a real difficult job.
I don't want to dwell too long on the officiating because I believe that there's a lot to be desired. But on the other hand, when you put cameras over their shoulders, sometimes they don't have to make the call because eventually it'll get right anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure, let it go, and then we'll figure it out after the red challenge flag is thrown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And again, because they have all this, you look and say, oh, they missed that. Well, years ago it never happened because you didn't have it.
Right.
So it's human beings are going to officiate, human beings play the game, and that's the way it ought to be. But certainly it has changed a lot because of all the technical advances.
I asked this question earlier in the week. I'll ask you the same thing. I said a friend of mine, you know Greg Cosell. Greg is the guy that does the producing for the NFL matchup show, and I'm texting Greg back and forth the other day, and I had said – are the Packers the best team in the NFC? And we started kind of going back and forth, and then when you look at the records and the strength of schedule, San Francisco's undefeated, but the teams prior to the L.A. game were 5-15 that they faced. Same with New Orleans. New Orleans has one or two good wins, but the rest of them kind of, you know, lackluster teams above below 500. The only team on the docket for the Packers at 5-1
that was below 500 was Denver. Everything else is a 500 or better team, three wins within the division. They haven't hit their stride yet. And I'm telling him, I said, make me an argument why the Packers should not be considered the best team in the NFC. We talked about Russell Wilson, who's having an MVP type of season. But he's done it against Arizona. He's done it against Cincinnati. Yeah. Both of those teams stink. So are the Packers the best team in the NFC?
Can you believe we're talking this
right?
way, Bill?
That's my point.
5-1, you'd hope to beat Oakland because then you go on the road four of the next five. But given that Devontae Adams is out and given that there really hasn't been a bona fide number two receiver, how in the world are they doing it with smoke and mirrors? We know about the Smiths and the Amos and the advances that they've made on defense and the young kids in the backfield. Bill, they beat Detroit, and as you know, they were 0-3 in the turnover. Mm-hmm. When they lose 0-3, I think they'd lost 22 straight games when they had turned it over three times, and somehow Matt LaFleur makes it happen.
Right.
And I love the way he called the game, but you've got to get Adams back. And I think if they're serious about a deep run and being the best team in the NFC, they are at least a wide receiver and perhaps a bona fide tight end away.
Do you like what they did in bringing in Ryan Grant?
You know, my wife said, Ryan Grant, he's coming back.
Kinda
I said,
old.
No, not that, not the running back.
Wrong one.
You know, he's a body. I think he's an okay player from what I can gather. I'm not going to sit here and say I know much, but he runs good pass patterns, and I'm sure that number 12 will appreciate that. And at this point, assuming that Geronimo is going to be out of the game, I mean, you got to have somebody. And imagine the kids stepping up Lazard. That was absolutely fantastic. They're going to have to depend more on him. But you've got basically free agents in there, and yet somehow he's being creative enough, LaFleur. And Rodgers, as I think you would agree, is buying in. Don't you think, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's bought into this.
Nope,
and there's just something
agree.
About this group. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't go out and get blasted because I think they do have to. Jimmy Graham isn't giving him much at all at the tight end position. Jamal Williams coming back, how big was that? So things have fallen into place, but I still am stunned that they are 5-1, and I give them all the credit in the world. What are they, one of four teams with that record in the NFC? So you can't say they're not one of the best teams, but I still need to see more talent on the offensive side of the ball if you want to take the big step and get to the grand poobah.
Devontae Adams out with that turf toe. Concussion for Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling not practicing either because of the ankle and the knee injury. You are down your top three wide receivers. Then you've got – that leaves you with a guy like Alan Lazard. That leaves you with – well, if Marquez Valdes-Scantling could come back, he did play a little bit towards the end of that game. But it doesn't leave you with what you would consider to be good weaponry for Aaron Rodgers. Now, I said it depends on how long he's going to be out. If he's going to be out, say, 6 to 8 weeks, then you probably have to go get somebody else.
Yeah.
If he's not, and they're thinking, well, maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks, as he is saying, he's getting better every day. This next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe you can sustain until you get to – you know, you'd like to get him back by Kansas City, but I don't think that's going to be realistic. I think probably a few weeks after that, maybe the bye week and then after the bye week. But then you're okay. But if he's going to be out for a long period of time. Remember, Julio Jones was hampered an entire season.
Absolutely.
So if he's going to be out for a long period of time, I would assume Geronimo is probably going to be back probably by the Kansas City game. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I don't know. He's your only real true deep threat. But you're doing it now with smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
You're doing it with backs out of the backfield. Although – they did it in Dallas where the top two receivers were running backs.
Yeah.
And then your tight ends.
Right.
And then you only had four passes caught by wide receivers.
That's stunning, isn't
it?
And he has been so creative. But after a while, teams are maybe going to start to figure some things out. But let's put it in his hands. I am so impressed with Matt LaFleur as each week goes on. I think that he got it right, Brian Gutekunst and company. And I think that he has made some moves which have turned out to be brilliant, especially with the Smiths on D coming big on the sacks.
Well, that's neither here nor there. I mean, that's huge. To meet and talk to Za'Darius Smith, that man's a mountain, first of all. and to get a chance to talk to him, you'd never know that he's as tenacious.
We are experiencing some technical difficulties here on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So for now, we'll carry you to Bill's conversation earlier today with Tracy Wolfson as they chatted a little bit about some NFL football.
Not many people get a much better view than that other than Tracy Wolfson from CBS, the NFL lead reporter. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to get to Lambeau. Hoping the weather holds out for me.
It doesn't look like it's going to be a bad day. You're not getting it in the dead of winter, and you're not getting it during a polar vortex, so count your blessings, right?
Yes, exactly.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about this matchup because I don't really know specifically what to make of the Oakland Raiders. I was really impressed in what they did with what they did over in London against the Chicago Bears. Defensively, it seems they've gotten better. Derek Carr seems to be getting into a bit of a rhythm. What should we expect on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I saw them the second week of the season, and I was impressed. I was really impressed. I mean, they were against Kansas City. They started off the game well, but I think what's happening right now, they're just basically controlling the clock. They're putting together really long drives, and they're running the football. And, you know, they're winning by running the football. If you look, it's very interesting when you look at both of these offenses, because that's, you know, as you know, the Packers are doing the same thing. They're winning by running the football and not, you know, their wide receiver core. Both of these wide receiver cores are all depleted. And so I think that's really how Oakland's trying to win it. They're trying to maximize their time on the field, keeping the opponent off the field, which is exactly what they have to do against Aaron Rodgers. And then they're limiting mistakes. And Derek Carr is managing the game exactly what, you know, how he needs to. And then they're running the ball with Jacobs. So they're doing a really good job with what they have, basically.
What do you see right now out of the Green Bay Packers? Because I had said this, and I'll see if you agree or disagree, but in the NFC, you look at the teams that are near the top when it comes to records, and all of these teams have beaten up kind of on some bad teams. The Packers, the only team under 500 they beat was the Denver Broncos. Everything else has been either 500 or better, and they play in a division which is 500 or better, and they also have three wins in the division. So can we consider the Green Bay Packers at this point in time, not firing on all cylinders, mind you, the best team in the NFC?
It's really incredible. You're exactly right. I don't know if I'm going to call them the best team in the NFC right now, because I think there's a lot of others out there that can contend for that. It's San Francisco, and you can talk about the Saints, and who knows, you know, if the Rams kind of get things going, and then the Bears, and I got to be honest, the Lions look really good. They keep losing games by the skin of their teeth, but they look really good. So, but it's amazing the way that Green Bay is winning, and I love the fact that you brought up how, you know, there's so many of these teams beating up on bad teams, because even when Green Bay played the Broncos are not a bad team. So I think when you look at Green Bay, I think the biggest thing is you're like, wow, you know, Aaron Rodgers not having the type of year, you know, you expect from Aaron Rodgers, just 21 passing touchdowns. I think it's his lowest of his career in the NFL. And, you know, his completion percentage is down. But I think it's Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers kind of getting on the same page. And then you have a leader in Rodgers who just finds ways to win. And you can tell how he's adjusting, and they're trying to, I think with each week, are really getting better working together. And when you have a run game that can balance out your passing game, as you haven't seen a lot from the Green Bay Packers in the past, well, I think that, you know, breeds success right there. And I think that's why you're seeing them win games. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the best when it comes to pulling out games in those, you know, in the last second.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. We are broadcasting live. The Bill Michaels Huddle tonight. We're at Joe Mama's out here in Colgate. Come on by and say hi in many surrounding areas. You know who you are. Come on by and enjoy yourself. The food is fantastic out here, so we can't say enough about it. Joe's great, and the staff is great, and always appreciate coming out here. We make it a yearly thing now. We try to get out here as often as we can. We were here last year. We're back here again this year because it was so much fun. So thanks to everybody here for hanging on to us. Tom Pippins, the Grand Poobah of sports in the state of Wisconsin, joining me here tonight. What is your podcast, by the way? Tell people.
Well, we're having some fun. We have a Packers historian by the name of John Dodge. You know J.D., Bill.
I do. And John's been on this show many a time.
Yeah, yeah. He says, I got to get a hold of Bill because he is just a master with sales and everything else, as well as being a great talent.
You know what?
I
he said, called well, me three or four times, and when we went to touch base, every now and then. So I got to get a hold of him. Yeah. I'm not ignoring him.
No.
I know, John, you're listening, so I'm not ignoring you.
Yeah, exactly. It'll happen. But we call it a Packers-centric sportscast, and we have, thank you, sir, a lot of fun. And what we've done is we've moved into the studios of WisconsinSportsStream.com or WSS Sports. You can find us at TomPippins.com, the Tom Pippins Show with John Dodds. I call him the star of the show. He's got all the history and the insight like yourself.
John is kind of Rain Man.
Yeah, he is Rain Man.
He really is.
He says, Pip, I remember back in 1945.
And he
knows third
what he
round
was
draft choice. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I knew what the guy was wearing at the time.
Yeah, yeah. But if you go to WSS Sports or WisconsinSportsStream.com, it's a beautiful studio. I know we're going to have the pleasure of you
we're
and
gonna be
Radio
there.
Joe Zenzola this coming Tuesday.
Yep.
And so it's the sports thread. It's a round table, not unlike what the great Dennis Krause did. So we have that going in addition to the Packer-centric podcast, and it's loads of fun. And at WSS Sports, they're doing high school football,
yeah.
A Project Pitch It, you know, with David right. Gruber and company. It's kind of the,
yeah.
you know, the show that you see.
David's everywhere.
Actually, oh, he is everywhere.
He's like
he's
the wind.
Just, he's
he's everywhere, man. David is everywhere. David Gruber is all over this.
So we're having some fun. We've been to the red zone in terms of making a sale or two.
Yeah.
And we hope to get across the goal line. So anybody within the sound of our voices, you got a few thousand bucks or so, we'll take it with many thanks.
Yeah. Well, podcasts are, I mean, it's just, we just came out with the radio.com app. And
yeah.
now it's, it not only has that gotten big, but now we've got in demand. And not only in demand where you can download it, but now it's like your DVR. It's like watching it on cable, but listening to it. So if you listen to us on radio.com and say, like earlier today, we had Tracy Wolfson on. And one of the guys that was listening had emailed me and said, man, it was amazing. He missed it and then went to the podcast and then just backed it up.
Right.
And then started it.
Right.
It's just like having a DVR at home. It records it as it goes. So you just back it up to the start, boom, and then you hit go, and then it just played the whole thing back for you.
Absolutely.
So it was just absolutely amazing.
Everybody seems to think that that's the way the business is going because people want what they want, when they want it, and as long as they want it.
You know the funny thing is?
The material is there once it's posted.
They said years ago that once satellite radio came out, terrestrial radio was dead. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, as long as there are people in communities wanting to hear about their communities, mm-hmm. it'll never go away. Because that's the way we communicate. That's the way we chatter.
My bias notwithstanding, as long as there's a Bill Michaels behind the microphone, there's going to be good sports talk radio. And that's just the truth. And, you know, I'm grateful to be here and here at Joe Mama's.
Let's just hope that I don't croak over, right?
Well, listen, we're going to have you for a lot more years, my friend.
Old
is what you're looking at with me.
You
haven't even hit your prime yet.
Old is what you feel yet.
Yeah,
so,
there you
know,
go. It's all about attitude,
right? We're still doing
this
business running around.
I got a 91-year-old friend. He says, Tom, celebrate the moments.
Right.
Right? So we celebrate every moment.
So we were celebrating on Monday night. Now the question is, will they be celebrating at the end of the year with an MVP? Now, I was going through all the statistics, and Aaron Rodgers, his numbers are good. Mm-hmm. They're not great.
Right.
He's not 2011.
Yep.
You know, but what he's done, the best game I thought he's had in a long time was that Dallas game, and he didn't throw a touchdown
mm-hmm.
pass.
He agreed with you. He said the same thing.
That was just watching mastery. That flick that he had to Tanyan, that pass that he had to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the pass that he had to Mercedes Lewis, all of those things coming out of the backfield to Aaron Jones, selling the play fake the way he does, I thought that was like watching quarterback poetry in motion. I was so impressed by that. And the fact that he comes out afterwards and said, I don't need statistics, I just want to win. Do you think he's bought into all of that? Do you think
I think he has.
Right now?
You know, you're going to see, you know, people want to make a big deal. He walks away. I wish he wouldn't walk away. You know, if your boss is talking to you, you don't walk away.
Right.
But I think LaFleur understands him. He's a competitor. 12 is a competitor. And there may be some of that because they both desperately want to win, especially Aaron. You know, he went through the whole thing. A lot of criticism, as you're aware, with Mike, and a lot of the fault was on his shoulders so that people say. So the perception is, and I think that bugs him, and I think the chip on that shoulder continues to grow, and he wants to show people that the last couple of years, especially with him hurt, are a fluke. So is he buying in? Yes. With each passing W, he is buying in. And I think those two are becoming like frickin' frack in the best sense.
I would agree because we see a lot of what the negative is. But if you see a play that works and Aaron looks over and points at LaFleur on the sideline as if to say good
that's
call,
right.
nobody shows that because
yep.
we're more interested in the controversy and the car crash
that's
than
right.
we are in the actual harmony. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I think things are actually really good and much, much better than a lot of people are giving him credit for. But can he – at the end of the season, from where they were last year in what we thought would be a 2 to 3 year rebuild, to where they are now, if this team continues to win, let's just say they go 12-4 or 13-3 and they get to an NFC Championship game, is he then considered a legitimate candidate for an MVP? I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson and the numbers, but when you look at the glue, the straw that stirs the drink, we know is Aaron Rodgers, and the sub straw is the little the little martini straws, that's Zadarius and Preston Smith. But it's Aaron Rodgers that makes it go and buys in. Because if he doesn't buy in, nobody buys in.
When Aaron Rodgers retires, I think that's when we're really going to appreciate him. And as you're aware, there are generations who don't know a Packers team without Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. And we've been blessed out of our socks. Unfortunately, only two Super Bowl wins in that span. So I would think that there's a very good chance that he could be in the mix with that kind of a record, but we appreciate him a lot more than others would because you see him every week, and you're up there, you see what's going on. Unless the numbers are a bit more flashy, he may not get that consideration. I do believe if they continue to win as this offense continues to go, if he gets some receiving help, I mean, imagine, I was thinking this, the Detroit Lions, look, they have Galladay, right? They have Jones. They have the Hawkinson, the great young tight end. What would happen if you put those guys in a green and gold uniform for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, can you imagine if he had Thielen and Diggs?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, you kind of, you know, Davante Adams, he says is the top three, so I want to see it out of Davante when he comes back, although this toe may linger, but I want to see that. I want to see Marquez Valdes-Scantling get better.
Right.
If he becomes a better route runner,
that's
more trustworthy, that's key for him because if he becomes a better route runner, first of all, it aids himself because not only will he get more balls, but that will then sell it up front so he can then get a breakaway with that 4-3 speed and go.
Oh, no question. He's got to be a better route runner, to your point, again, intermediary. You know, he's good on the deep ball. He has some amazing gifts and talents. But I think to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust, he's going to have to do exactly what you said.
And then Geronimo Allison, I said at the beginning of the season, I told everybody, watch this guy. He was so impressive last year in training camp. He was so impressive early on. And then he went down with the injury. And I thought, this is the year. He has the breakout year. It looks like he's absorbing the pressure. Like, it's been too much. He's had drops. He's had, obviously, injuries. Now he's got a concussion. He's got the chest injury. He just hasn't been consistent, and he hasn't been the go-to guy that I thought he was going to be. He's got all the talent in the world.
He does. He makes some marvelous catches, doesn't he?
He can go up and get it. That's the thing, is you can throw it high, and he can go up and get it, but he just hasn't developed this year the way I really thought the breakout season he was going to have.
And when you think about Rodgers, too, speaking of drops, I think Matt LaFleur said there were six of them against the Lions. That's far too many. You got to cut that down. And in a tight game, that's going to come back to
bite
you.
And two of which were touchdowns. Yep. Now, think of it this way. If you're a Lions fan and you're complaining about the officiating, the Packers had two touchdown passes, I mean, that were dropped. They weren't even – it wasn't even like it was a tough catch. They were just dropped. That game could have been a blowout.
Yeah,
Packers could have turned. Had they not fumbled three times and thrown the pick and then caught the touchdown pass, think of that. That's five plays right there that could have continued drive and or scored. It could have been a blowout.
Yeah, and you know that defense, we're talking about the Smiths, I believe that Detroit had the ball for 28 plays on the Packers' side of the 50-yard line. They came away with 22 points, but 15 of them were on the five Matt Prater field goal. So the bend, don't break defense. Mike Pettine doing a great job utilizing the skills of the people he has, playing the way he wants to play. It's exciting.
And, oh, by the way, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, one more thing. You had 12 men in the huddle.
Yes.
12 men in the huddle on a field goal.
How does that happen?
And you allowed the drive to continue because of your own stupidity, and they scored a touchdown. Bite me. It just shut up. We're going to go and take a quick break. Now I'm frustrated.
He's still passionate. That's what makes him great, ladies and gentlemen.
Tom Pippin's alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We're broadcasting live out here at Joe Mama's. Come on out and say hi. We are brought to you by Bud Light. We got a lot more to chit-chat about. We got back right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Packers are at 5-1, and they took on the Detroit Lions. They beat them in a last-second field goal by Mason Crosby. Now here come the Oakland Raiders this coming Sunday noon kickoff. That's going to be a CBS game, by the way, for those that are wondering, and we'll be catching that game. Don't forget, live after the game, Gary Ellison and I are going to be over at Hinterland coming up immediately following the Packers and the Raiders. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. We'll see you over there at Hinterland afterwards. We are broadcasting tonight at Joe Mama's. We're out here in Colgate, Wisconsin on County Line, County Road Q. So come on by. Tom Pippins alongside tonight joining me for the roundtable, so to speak. So we know the Packers are at 5-1. We know what they've overcome. I look at it this way. They played an unbelievable game on opening night. They had to go in and shut down the Chicago Bears, and they had to take the Bears' best shot in what was anticipated as the 100th anniversary.
Oh, the Bears, proud, wild,
the Bears
right?
retired. They put up statues.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweetness statue went up. Hallis statue went up. All these different things. So they overcame that. They get a win. They come back. They beat a really good Minnesota team. I keep thinking to myself, how much better can this team be? If just say they started firing on all cylinders, it would almost be, I'm not going to say a cakewalk, but it would almost be, I'll see you at the NFC Championship game. Yeah. I mean, that's how good I think this team can be.
There is definitely talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that they haven't had in a long time.
But they got to stay healthy in the second
half. That's very true. You know, John Dodds always likes to say, he's got Bulaga and you've got Kevin King. And he said, I think those two guys, believe it or not, in some ways might be more valuable than Devontae Adams, at least in the short term, because Bulaga's playing so well. And you know all about O-line play, yeah. Bill. And when he's healthy, he performs. The same thing with Kevin King. You get those two guys, yes, they've got to stay healthy. If they do, this could be a defense that you could win a Super Bowl with. So now you come back to the offensive side of the ball, and you say, can you get another skill player or two who can be a difference maker? And if we're talking about this, you know Brian Gutekunst is,
oh, yeah.
right, the GM. And he's not unlike Ron Wolf. You know, they had some injuries. They went out, and they got Andre Rison, and they were able to win a Super Bowl. And I got to think that they're talking about it, but he doesn't want to give up the farm, right,
right.
to get a good receiver.
That's the thing. When I saw what Jalen Ramsey went for,
now,
defensive back out to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and L.A. was desperate. They know they needed one. They traded away their corner, and then they pick up a linebacker. Then they go back and get Jalen Ramsey. My thought was the price at the trade deadline has now gotten too high. The Packers won't get anybody. Cincinnati has said repeatedly that A.J. Green they're not going to get rid of, even though we know they have a price and they covet draft choices. But, you know, Shepard out in Emmanuel Shepard out there in Denver, he was – or Emmanuel Sanders,
Sanders,
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that people are talking about. They apparently yep. wanted a lot. You're not going to get Thielen
or Diggs. He's 32 years old.
Right.
Too, so,
you're
yeah.
not going to get Thielen or Diggs,
yeah.
both of those guys. There's no way Minnesota's
no.
trading them in
no.
division. So that leaves you with kind of what else is out there. I know there was some talk about Larry Fitzgerald, but Larry Fitzgerald has claimed time and again that he wants to retire in Arizona. That's where his heart is. I just don't know who else of major ilk would come in and help this team. People talk about Antonio Brown, but he's got legal issues.
Right.
And there's no way the NFL's going to let him walk back in.
Right, and you know the Packers won't go there. Even,
right.
even though Ted Thompson, of course, he would be less inclined, but I would be shocked if something like you'd love someone with the gifts and talents that he has. Tight end, you know, I could see something there in that offense. Aaron
yeah.
Rodgers, you saw what happened on their run to the NFC Championship game in 2016.
Yeah.
Real solid tight end. Well, you need that. And I think in LaFleur's offense, too, they could flourish. Maybe with a young kid coming back, Sternberger.
Sternberger, yeah.
yeah. I don't know how much of an impact he can make.
Bayless,
because of the,
they've,
yeah.
got, they've got
Mercedes Lewis. He's
got
made
Tanya.
A few catches. He's
Mercedes
a blocking
Lewis.
Tight end.
He,
but,
you know what? He would made catches when he was with Jacksonville playing against the Packers.
He did.
And
huh?
I've always wondered why they don't utilize him. He doesn't have to be a – a 35-yard down the field guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Gronk, but
right.
he can get you 10 and 15
yeah.
to move the sticks.
Solid. He was
you know?
Very good against Detroit.
He had two catches
for
50 yards, 25
yeah.
apiece.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's had a good season.
Yeah.
Where would they be without him?
Right. And Tanya's got good receiving ability.
Yeah.
He's not much of a blocker, but he's got good receiving ability. I just don't know what they, you know, where they're. People want to see a dynamic pitch and catch, whether it's, you know, you go back to the old days of it was always Dan Marino and Mark Clayton or Super Duper, you know, I mean, you had that to rely on. You have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you know, that you
remember when the Packers had J.J. and James
right.
Lofton,
right?
right? Jefferson and Lofton.
Exactly. So, you know, and you're not going to have the stable that you used to have when you had Jordy and you had Donald
yep.
and you had James and you had Greg, and you could go through that list. And then, oh, by the way, you're Michael Finley.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that anymore. So they're figuring out other ways. I like the fact that they've got two guys coming out of the backfield that both can catch the ball, both can block now. They're pretty good at that. I like that Aaron Jones put weight on, more muscle than anything in the offseason. I think they're going to be – people think I'm crazy, but I think they're going to be okay. I just think that they – to me, it all starts up front. If you stay healthy in the front, you keep Bakhtiari and Bulaga healthy, and you're able to get, you know, Corey Linsley back after the concussion, and you're going to be – I think you're going to be okay.
As you said earlier, how many elite teams do you have in the NFC? I don't see any. So why
no.
not the Packers?
Right.
again, you've got to have people who are able to stay on the field. I like Jamal Williams. Where would they have been without Jamal, who went down against the Eagles with that frightening injury, the concussion and the neck, and then to see him come back. He was playing at another level where Packers were slipping and sliding on that surface. Man, he was solid. I just loved what he did. So, as you say, with Jones, you've got good help because he is – still a little bit fragile. You can't give the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah.
But they've got a good 1-2 punch there, and they'll figure it out. And I tend to agree with what you're saying as much as I would like some more talent, because I think LaFleur will be creative enough to get the most. He will put people in positions to win. I think he's been doing that already, right? Yeah. You know this game.
Oh, no. What the game plan they had in Dallas was amazing to me, because it was run the ball. And when was the last time we saw a true Aaron Rodgers-led team say, we're going to run the ball?
Yep.
And the play action that they ran and the way they just said, hey, okay, we don't have Devontae. We're going to figure it other ways. And the guys that got the ball the least were the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Brilliant game plan, I thought.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And then Aaron Jones was just magnificent.
Yeah.
And he had had success in Dallas a couple of years prior, as you're aware. So I just loved what – it surprised me. I mean, I had the white flag, Bill, before the kickoff. There's no way they can win this game without
Adam. I picked them to lose, too.
They found a way to do it. So it'll get a little tougher, as we said, for the next five on the road. And, you know, you've got an Oakland team that's coming off two straight wins. They beat the Bears, admittedly, without the starting quarterback in London. And so they'll be rested, but I think if you get by them and you're going in there 6-1, man, you're in great shape. And in the middle of that will be a bye, and hopefully some people will get healthy, most notably number 17.
Right, right. You'd love to see him be able to come back for that. That would be huge for this defense, or for this offense. You know what's really funny is I've been watching the run blocking, and Pro Football Focus ranked them at one point as low as 28th in the league. Then they went to 26th. Then they went to 24th. They're now 14th best run blocking team in the league because of the running backs that they have. I really believe you give them just a little bit of light between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, that you've got a really good 1-2 punch. They're not the top duo, but they're probably in the top five. What do you say?
I would agree. And Williams is a hammer.
Yeah.
You know, and the other guy has got moves that we haven't seen in a long time, Aaron Jones.
Right.
So he can slither through there, and hey, he'll come back, you know, with his family in the crowd and all. It was unfortunate that he had the drop and the touchdown, and prior to that he had the fumble. But he's a good player. He's a real good ball player. And so I'm excited. I don't know about David Bakhtiari. There's a part of me, Bill, that thinks that he's not 100% healthy. Maybe it's the back. I don't know. But I don't think he's played up to Bakhtiari's standards.
Right.
You know, he gets pushed around a little bit. That doesn't happen often. He may be the best pass-blocking left tackle in the league, or certainly up there among the top two or three.
He got bowed a couple of times. We don't see many holding penalties out of him. We saw an ordinate amount of holding penalties already on David.
I think he's battling, don't you?
I would say something's bothering him.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just we don't – he was always the guy that was consistent. You can say, okay, I'll go down the line, and okay, maybe Lindsley gets beat, or maybe Bulaga gets beat on a speed rush, or maybe Billy Turner's the 50-50 guy. You never see a 50-50 or a 60-40 or a 7-30 even out of Bakhtiari. He was always the guy just mauling people, maybe every now and then, once in a blue moon, guy get around him, very rare. But right now it seems like he's just – The stable base may not be there. You know what I mean? Or it's not the way it once was. And maybe he is battling something. Maybe the back issue.
I love Jenkins. Huh? This rookie can play. Once in a while, he'll get a penalty. I think the one they had was kind of ticky-tack the other night against the Lions. But I think they may be able to put him in there, and he could be there a decade or so. And seems to have enough versatility. He played some center, didn't he?
Right.
Maybe they could move him to tackle in a pinch. So overall, as you say, blocking has been good. Let's give credit where it's due.
I know they could probably fortify a little bit if Brian Bulaga goes down. All the run game suffered in that Philadelphia game after Bulaga went out. I don't know what they do if David Bakhtiari goes down.
Yeah.
I don't think they have anybody there.
They're paying him the money because that's the prime.
Right.
He's guarding Aaron Rodgers' backside.
That's going to be a purchase of some type come the offseason, whether it's an investment in a draft choice or a guy that they pick up, because that might be an area.
It would be a good move, I think.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live out here at Joe Mama's. We're on in Colgate, as a matter of fact. If you want to come by and say hello, please feel free to go ahead and do so. Out here on County Line Road Q, come on by, and we're going to be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Tom Pippin's alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We're brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. We have got more coming up right after this.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Broadcasting live out here. We're at Joe Mama's. We are in Colgate. Come on by. And it's a terrific atmosphere, terrific food, even better service. And Joe is fantastic. His staff is awesome. And like I said, this is a place that I come even when I'm not working. Usually when I'm on the motorcycle and it's a beautiful day, we stop by here. This is one of our either stops on the way out or on the way back into town. This is fantastic. I love this place. So
I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be with you, as I said, but also to be here.
Yeah,
it is
good
a
place.
Really nice place.
It's not many places we walk in when we do the show, and the place is full.
Yeah.
That's how
yeah.
good of food yeah. they have.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and they have a wait to get in. So.
Yeah, I had to park in Cudahy.
Did you? I had to take a bus over.
We took an Uber.
Yeah, I was going to say, took a bus, had a couple transfers.
Yeah.
Look at you busing it, Tom Pippins. Times have gotten hard,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Tom's on the bus.
Yeah, that's it.
There
yeah.
you go. We are broadcasting live out here at Joe Mama's. Come on out and say hi. We're brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You know, it's funny. I was just telling you off the air, as we get closer to this Wisconsin-Ohio State game, me being from the land of Buckeye, people keep saying, you know, hey, who are you rooting for? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm hoping one, like somebody takes a loss or something yeah. before this game. You know what? As a fan, I'm just watching the first one
mm-hmm.
because that'll determine what you do come the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
The first one is just let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you want to root, but I really just want to watch the game and enjoy it. But come the Big Ten, I said if Wisconsin goes into Ohio State and Ohio State wins out this season, if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State at the Shoe, say it's a 27-24 shootout and Ohio State wins on a last-second field goal, you're not losing a lot of style points for Wisconsin.
Yep.
You're going to stay about where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into the Big Ten championship game and you knock off the Buckeyes. You're going to the Final Four, and the Wisconsin or the Ohio State Buckeyes aren't.
It's set up for them that
yeah,
way. Isn't
it would set up. The Buckeyes would probably end up in like the Rose Bowl.
Sure.
But if you go into the Shoe and win, and then get blown out by Ohio State, and Ohio State has one loss, you have no losses,
yep.
and Ohio State beats you in the Big Ten championship game, the committee will look at the pedigree of Ohio State, and they'll take them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to lose, it would be at the Shoe in a hard-fought game rather than a neutral site and losing there. If
yeah.
you go to the Shoe and you lose one.
You're looking big picture. Yeah,
yeah I'm trying to figure this thing out because because some of the teams that are above you right now play each other.
Mm-hmm.
So Alabama is going to play Georgia and Alabama, you know what I mean? So there's going to be other opportunities for some of these teams to lose along the way. LSU is another one. LSU is going to get either beat or they're going to beat Alabama. They play each other. So those teams will knock each other off. So all you got to do is just kind of stay consistent, and you can slide into that top four spot, I think, if you end up winning in that Big Ten championship game.
You remember the team they had a couple of years ago or so, and they were maybe a drive away from making
right.
it into the Final
right.
Four. And you said, opportunity lost. But this defense with Jimmy Leonard, I am just astounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine them
four
keeping him
shutouts.
Beyond this year. Because,
yeah.
yeah, he's just, yeah, never happened, has it, in Wisconsin history?
I was talking to I don't know if I should give a name, but we were at Super Bowl this past
mm-hmm.
year, and somebody real close to the Badger program started talking to us, and he had said, Jim's just really happy being a Badger.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to leave.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
I if you get a head coaching gig somewhere, I can't imagine him not,
yeah.
but – the way they made it sound was
Tony
like
Wisconsin
yeah,
values.
Like
he
just
loves
doesn't
Paul Chris,
want to leave.
Vice
yeah,
versa.
He just loves his job.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, look, I've already played in the NFL. I've made my money.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to do. So if it's not money and it's not the prestige of being a head coach, which he could, you know, Paul Chris ever retires, he could be the head coach.
Yeah. yeah.
But I just can't see him at this point leaving unless it's so unbelievably
opportunistic. Which would be a blessing for Bucky
yeah,
fans. That's,
to
that's
hang on
for
him
sure.
because
yeah.
he's done a magnificent job.
He truly has. And, you know, on the other side of the ball, we know about Jonathan Taylor. He's,
right.
he's if they continue to win especially, he's got to be one of the forerunners for the Heisman Trophy, maybe the favorite among the
top
couple.
He has to have
anyway.
A big game against Ohio State.
That's key. That's right.
If he does it on national television,
right.
he'll garner a ton of points.
You are 100% right. Jack Cohn has impressed me. You know, I keep waiting for the merch kid to come in. Me, all the anticipation.
Right.
You know, they had that blowout. He came in and the crowd was roaring. No, Jack Cohn, you can't sit him
no.
down. I saw him struggle a little bit, and I said, okay, now I wonder what's going to happen. But he picked it up. He was good against Michigan. The guy seems to be growing, and more importantly, I sense his teammates around him are trusting him, have a lot of confidence that he could. They're not just a run team. Yeah. If they can't, you know, if they can't get Taylor going against the Buckeyes D, they can throw the ball. They've got some good receivers, as you're aware, and having Cephas back has been
really huge.
Yeah.
When they trusted him, it was fourth and two or three against Michigan, and they were in their own territory. And Paul Christ went for it. Not only did he go for it, but he threw the ball. That told me right then and there he trusts Jack Cohn. Mm-hmm. Cohn's got his trust. Yeah. So, and that and the fact that you got a great defense that you can back it up with. But when he went for it on fourth and two or fourth and three deep in their own territory, I should say about the 30, 35, 40-yard line, that was like, whoa, you don't do that unless you got a lot of faith in the guy. They picked up the first down, but to me that was Paul Christ saying, you got it. Go ahead and do it. You
know, and even since he replaced Hornibrook last year, you've seen him grow leaps and bounds, and even within the 2019 season, from game to game, his confidence seems to – his decision-making seems to grow. It's all going great right now. As you say, let's see what happens at the shoe.
I know.
Now you got Illinois first.
I got to sit away from everybody for that one. I get hit in the head with a beer bottle.
They got to catch you a break here. Come on now.
We got 1 hour down, another hour yet to go, and we're going to start making our picks for the rest of the NFL coming up here shortly. Stay tuned for that. Tom Pippins alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live at Joe Mama's out here in Colgate, Wisconsin. Come on by. Like I said, another hour yet to happen. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be back right after this.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Good evening and welcome. Hour number two of the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live. We are at Joe Mama's here in Colgate. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got a good crowd in here. When you get here and they're on a wait to get in, and the food here is spectacular. The service here is even better. Joe's a fantastic guy to hang out with. Like I said, this is a place that is within about 15 to 20 minutes of my house. We get a chance to ride the motorcycle out here every now and then. And when I'm coming down 164 and passing back, you know, back and forth through Colgate, I always try to make it a point to stop in and say hi. This is awesome. And Tom Pippin's alongside, who I just pulled away from his meal. He was eating as if maybe the
That chicken, like you said, Bill, thank you. I'm wearing it on my face, as you can see.
Yes.
Thankfully, we're on radio.
You ate like the electric chair is waiting for you at midnight.
If that was my last meal, Lord, thank you very much. It was absolutely awesome.
It was. They got a bang bang shrimp out here that I just said, put it in a bucket, put the sauce on it, let me stick my head in there. Yeah. It's that good. So.
And Bill, if I may, I've got my gorgeous wife Sally is here, and good friend Mike Previn, and of course a wonderful friend Tommy Calvano. We met doing a feature story on Fox 6 years ago, and have become. He's 50 years, as he told you, has been a Buck season ticket holder, and you know, one of the originals, overcame a very serious accident some 40 years ago or more, and he's just an inspiration to me. But he is also a huge, ladies and gentlemen, huge Bill Michaels fan.
That's what I heard.
It's like, you know,
we got to get that man out of the house more.
Do you remember me? I was on TV for a while. Well, where's Bill? When's Bill going to be? Well, all right, we're going to take him right here to Joe Mama's. And then when you do the sports thread over there, WisconsinSportsStream.com, Tommy will be there.
That's great. That's
he loves
great.
You. He's got Bucks basketball for you
that's
to autograph.
Cool.
I didn't get that invitation. So
it
is what it is.
I have disfigured and defamed many an item in my life. Did I ever tell you the story about Super Bowl? We were down in Houston maybe 3 years ago. We were on Radio Row, and we got invited. We got an invite from an agent of an agent. Okay, so long story short, we're with some people from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They were with Hunt Auctions.
Okay.
They do the auctions, the official auction for the NFL. So we're with Hunt Auctions, and the girl says to us, we can get you in, because I wanted to go to the Ditka party. Because we had presented Mike Ditka with the Lombardi Award of Excellence years ago, and I had talked to his people, and they said, yeah, you know what, we're sold out, but come on over, we'll see what we can do. And so we get over there, and the girl couldn't get us in, and somebody had said something. They pointed at me. Well, I stand 6'6 and about 280, so people always say, did you
ever
play?
And a spelt 280, I might
have.
Yeah,
well, you know, I can find all the body parts now. I'm feeling good. So anyway, the rumor goes that he's with the Packers, but nobody said I wasn't a player. So they take us in, the back door of this thing, me and the entire entourage, all our workers. Mike Clemens is with us and everybody.
He's a good one.
And so I'm kind of acting like it now, but I'm faking my ass off, right? And this guy comes over and says, oh, my God, I'm so sorry for not letting you in. You need to come over through the receiving line. I said, okay, this is great. I'm thinking VIP service. And what it is, it's a line of memorabilia that all the players have to sign.
Oh, no.
Who is ahead of me but Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino? And you also have, at that time, the guys from ESPN, and then there's Ditka and Jaworski. And then Mike Golic and me. And I'm kind of like faking it. You know, I'm like, I got the cap on still.
Well, you got a Radio Hall of Famer there signing. Come on now.
So I'm signing this stuff, but the cap is still on the Sharpie. I'm not signing it. And so this guy comes over, and he is, we'll just say, very loud and flamboyant. And he's yelling at me. And I said, but look, I'm really not, you know, no. So I devalued every damn piece of memorabilia in that place. So Pete, they're auctioning this off, and this is signed by, and you could clearly see when they're holding these auction items up, he's like, this is Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino. We got Montana on the back and all the quarterbacks, and we've got, and you could see him read it and kind of hold it up, and he's like, we had a lot of other autographs, you know? And at the end of the night,
that
I'm sure he's going,
classic.
Who the hell is this guy? You know? So, but that was my.
I've heard some good stories that we've
shared,
buddy.
Many things
that
in my
may
life.
Be the best of all.
That
time.
Was awesome. But we did get up because Camacho Cigars sponsors Ditka, so they make the Ditka Anniversary Cigars. So I got up. Mike remembered me. We happened to sit up there with him for about 20 minutes.
He's a
and he
nice
just
man,
shot the stuff. He loved Lombardi, loved the rivalry, respected what it had to be to keep that league together way back when. And it's just a historian of the game. He was so much fun to hang out with. But I told him, I said, I need to tell you something. He said, what? And I said, they made me sign everything. And he pulls the cigar out of his God, my witness. He said, he pulls the cigar out of his mouth. He's got his scotch right there, and he leans back and he goes, ah, F him. And then he puts a cigar back in, and he went smoking. We sat and had a great time. That was my night.
That is classic.
That was cigars with the stars.
That's got to be in the book.
And well, now when we go back every year, he always leans over. He goes, "You sign anything?" And I said, "Not this year." And he goes, "Thank God." So there you go. So anyway, that's my tremendous Mike Ditka story.
Devaluing
property. We're broadcasting out here at Joe Mama's talking Green Bay Packer football. So the Packers have John Gruden coming to town. Gruden. Did you watch Hard Knocks? Did you get a chance to see
it? I didn't, but what did you think of it?
I, when John Gruden was in the broadcast booth on Monday Night Football coming towards the end, and he was just, he was sucking up to everybody. You know, that guy's a football player, and it just, it aggravated me. And I thought, man, what a clown. This is going to be a crap show out there, you know. And then he had a really bad first year. And then I thought, okay, you get what you deserve. You're making 10 years worth of money. You're the emperor and dictator of Oakland. And then you see the behind the scenes where he's going over and talking to every family member and to their kids. Let's bring this kid out. Let's do this. He's bringing in charity. Now, whether he was doing this for the camera or not, I don't know. But I found a whole new level of respect for John Gruden. Now, what I found hysterically funny was on the sideline, they're showing him in their first preseason game, and he's dropping F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. And he leads over and he says, man, I swear a lot. And then he goes, well, F it. And he keeps just swearing through the whole thing, you know, which was hilarious. But I really gained a different respect through the whole Antonio Brown situation. Mm-hmm. I think his players kind of fell into line thinking, no matter what happens, our coach is going to have our back. And I think that team's kind of playing like it right now because there's a tenacity to defense, and they're figuring it out on offense, and Derek Carr is better. I think this is a not a pushover, a dangerous team coming into Lambeau Field, and with 2 weeks coming out of London and beating the Bears, to think about what the Packers are doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they've got a quarterback in Carr who's completed 73% of his passes. They've got Jacobs, the kid from Alabama, real good running back. And the legend of Green Bay, Alec Ingold, the fullback, a free agent only because they didn't value that position. But, boy, that's helped him a bunch. And, you know, they've got some good young skilled players, tight end, receiving. So, I agree with you. This is a game that I think the Packers want to get ahead. You don't want to play from behind because they're going to start to get confident. So I think we'll find something out about this team. But 3-2, you can't just take them lightly.
They got a good win over the Bears. And now Chase Daniels was the quarterback, right, and not Mitch Trubisky. And they thought Chase was going to play really well. I love the excuses after Chicago lost that game about, well, it was a long trip and they had jet lag. Well, what do you think? The Raiders live there?
Yeah, absolutely.
They had to go there too,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
So I give them credit for what they've been able to accomplish, especially kind of a team without a talent.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing in Canada. They're playing overseas in London. They're doing anything they can just to kind of hold it off until they finally get into their home in Vegas. So I think it's a good, dangerous team. I don't know how good they are on the outside. I think it's going to come down to how healthy is Kevin King. Can Derek Carr be accurate? And then going back to this last game for the Packers, because the Packers' run defense had been just chewed up. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't give up a ton of points to Ezekiel Elliott, they're still giving up yards. They were not a great run defense, statistically speaking. And now you get a guy in Derek Carr and company. If they can kind of stymie the run and make Carr beat you, he'll give you a couple. And this team's been opportunistic. I've been impressed with the way they've been able to get picks, get turnovers, get fumbles, and be able to kind of capitalize on
that. Yeah, that's been huge. We didn't see much of that, obviously, in the Detroit game. But overall, this has been a defense, I think, that you can hang your hat on, that they're going to find a way. They're going to give up a lot of yards, but they'll make big plays at the right time with a great talent they had, as you said earlier in your show, Bill, in that defensive backfield. Love Alexander.
Yeah.
I hope the rookie can come back because this kid Savage
Darnell
has been
Savage
so
Jr.'s
good.
Been good. Yeah,
yeah, he's got the ankle thing. I think he was another one didn't practice. They missed him, certainly. I think it was Redmond who bit on that flea flicker that Daryl Bevel called there on the
Redmond
Lions.
Redmond bit, and Kevin King got burned.
Yeah, he did.
And it took Jair Alexander to come from the other side of the field to help out, which, again, you talk about his speed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he came from 25,
else.
30 yards away.
He is. It's exciting to see. And then you have the steadying force back there with Amos from the Bears. Now, we haven't seen play like this in a long time from a Packers defense. Go back to Super Bowl 45, right?
You know what I liked? And this, I love Hub Arkish. Hub Arkish,
he tells it like he sees it.
He does.
For sure.
He was doing the pregame show though for the Bears, and we were down in Chicago, and I was listening to him, and he said, "You know, the trade off between Ha-Ha Clinton Dix versus Adrian Amos. Ha-Ha's going to get you turnovers. Adrian doesn't get you any turnovers." And then wasn't he the guy that picks off Mitch Trubisky in the end zone?
Yeah, that was
pretty
the
much
play of the game.
Oh my God!
Really love
talk
that
about
one.
A that slap
was
in the
trophy case,
right?
Oh, that was
fantastic. Yeah. We're broadcasting live out here at Joe Mama's. Hang in there. We got a lot more. We're going to start making some picks after the bottom of the hour as well. One more segment regarding the Green Bay Packers in this matchup with the Oakland Raiders. That is upcoming. We are brought to you by our sponsor Bud Light. Thanks to having Mel and Bud Light in the house tonight, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We have got more right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are glad to have you. You know, every story is good, but when you get the unabridged, detailed version,
yes,
sometimes they're better.
Yes.
Some of those things you just can't
say. The Ditka story, I hope the listeners had a chance, because one of the greatest stories I've heard ever.
Some of the,
and I was blessed to hang around a long time.
Some of the details, I'm not kidding you. That guy
again,
was,
maybe for the book.
Yes. So, I tell you what, I said a long time ago, I said I should write a book and call it Blank That Only Happens to Me. And it's true. I've been stuck in elevators with people. I got stuck in an elevator that was as big as an English phone booth one time. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't stand all the way up. It was 100 degrees. And I figured I had time to kill. So every time somebody started pushing a button and knocking on the door, I was making sheep noises. Nobody could figure it out what was in there. And they didn't know if it was an elevator or a barn door. And it's at the top of the building down in the middle of Cincinnati. And,
to say nothing of lightning strikes.
No,
Lord watch you around a good long time, my friend.
I survived that. I figured, you know what? What was funny was I just got married.
Yeah.
And then I got hit by lightning last year. So when I got hit by lightning, the first thing I thought was, man, I wonder if my insurance is paid up and my wife's taken care of. I better do something about that, you know.
And it's amazing the way the mind works.
Yeah, every now and then.
You got a great lady too. She's the best.
She's going to be canonized as saint at some point.
Believe you me.
So the Packers coming into this ball game, sitting at 5-1. The Oakland Raiders, we believe to be dangerous, the best team in the NFC North right now. I watched what they do at home, the Minnesota Vikings, is amazing. They're averaging 33 points at home, with only 16 points on the road.
Yeah.
Are the Vikings for real or not for real? Because I can't figure them out.
I think they have everything, but the quarterback is so up and down.
Right.
When Kirk Cousins plays the way he did against the Eagles, they are a team to be reckoned with. and they could go deep. But I just don't know if Kirk Cousins is the guy. I mean, imagine, again, if you put Aaron Rodgers on that
unit
with the skilled players on offense and then the defense. But I think there is, to me, he's got to be consistent for them to be a real factor. And because he hasn't been, I think they may end up petering out.
Then you've got Mitch Trubisky and company. Now, I don't know when he's coming back, if it's going to be this coming week or if it's going to be in a couple more weeks. But Trubisky, I you know what, Tom? I was coming back from the game against the Packers on that night that they opened up the season. And I'm listening to the postgame press conference, and they're talking. Matt Nagy is talking about not putting too much pressure on Mitch and putting the ball in his hands. And I'm thinking, you traded everything to trade up and get this guy. And you're telling me now he can't handle the pressure? Mm-hmm. To me, that was the admission of, we made a mistake.
Yeah, if they miss on him, it's going to set them back.
Oh, my
with
God,
that
yes.
defense. And it wasn't it Tremont Williams who had one? I think he backed off 38.
Yes. No, it was.
We made him play quarterback.
Right. We wanted him to play quarterback.
Now you start to wonder, what is he, a game manager?
It was around the fact that I thought it was very reminiscent of Charles Woodson, who said, same old Jay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That type of comment about, we're coming down here. We're good. Yeah. Well, as long as we make him play quarterback, we're fine.
I started to feel good for him and for Bears fans because I watched some things he did. But now I'm not so sure, Bill. I mean, it's still a short sample size. I don't know if he's the guy they had hoped to be. It's still a quarterback-driven league, as you know, and say what you will about Rodgers and numbers and maybe not quite what he was during those incredible MVP years when he was just playing at a level that I don't know as any quarterback has played at for that span of time. As long as he's on that Packers team, they should indeed be a contender. And with some of the things they've done, no wonder we're enthused. And why not at 5-1?
I look at Trubisky and I think that if they continue to think that he's a kid growing, I look at the 3 years that Aaron Rodgers spent behind Brett Favre. Now you're learning behind a Hall of Famer, and Trubisky was basically thrown into the fire. But isn't Matt Nagy, that's his job, to get him coached up to where he is that elite-level quarterback?
Yeah. I mean,
do you condemn Matt Nagy, or do you condemn
the pick?
I think
he's got to have some of it, some of the responsibility on his shoulders, because he's so very creative. He came out real creative against the Pack, as you know. Then they made adjustments. And so I do think, though, that in the end, if this guy's as good as they had hoped, he ought to be able to overcome. I don't think we've seen enough from him yet to justify that pick. Let's wait a year or two and see if he's blessed with health. But I don't know, Bill. I'm starting to wonder. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing for Packers.
No,
fans,
no.
Right?
I believe me. I get it. The other guy that I'm impressed with has been Matt Patricia. From his first year where he looked like a deer in the headlights to this year where he kind of looks like he's starting to wrap his arms around the program and they've gotten better. I look at that win in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia came here and kind of manhandled the Packers.
Yeah, they did.
They took Kansas City to the very end, and that was before Kansas City got really beat up. And Kansas City again playing tonight, which is, again, you're talking about another team that's going to be waiting for the Green Bay Packers with 10 days rest.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid's going to have time to scheme for them because that's going to be the next opponent on the docket. So they're taking on the Broncos tonight in Thursday Night Football. But I like what Patricia has done. They went toe-to-toe with Kansas City. They beat Philadelphia on the road for their two wins. They had to come from behind because they had a lead, and then they lost it, and then they tied it, and they ended up coming from behind against Arizona in the opener. So the other two losses, obviously, that they've taken, one being to the Packers. I've been impressed with Matt Patricia. I think Zimmer, if he doesn't get to the postseason this year, he may lose his job
in
Minnesota.
I agree. He may well be on the hot seat. Patricia, I looked at him the first year. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, as you say, deer in the headlights. He's brought some of that Patriots culture in there and brought some of the players in there as well. And so I think that they may have hit with this guy. It, again, is early. My old partner, John Dodds, again from the podcast, saying, it depends on when you play a team. The Packers caught the Eagles at the worst time.
Right.
They were a desperate team. They were hungry, and they were loaded for bear, and they went ahead and won. But I do think that Detroit is a team that maybe will be – you know, they always tease, right? They tease, and maybe they're doing it again this year. You think they're going to, but it doesn't happen. But Patricia might just be the guy who could give them some success over the long haul that they haven't had in a long while. Playoffs.
We're going to talk more about this game tonight coming up here in a couple of minutes, but is Kansas City really the only team that I think is going to be a legitimate threat to the Patriots? Now, the Patriots, what sucks about the Patriots is the division they play in.
Yeah.
They're playing the Dolphins twice a year. They're playing the Jets twice a year. You know, it's just we'll see in the AFC Championship game. Go away.
Right.
But
that,
It's almost unfair, but I don't know anybody that right now is going to knock them off. And watching Kansas City as banged up as they are, I don't know if Kansas City is going to have the capability of beating them either.
They've been surprised a couple of the Colts game. I said, well, that's no game to watch. All of a sudden, holy cow. Yeah, well,
and Jacoby Brissett has played wonderfully. Mm-hmm. You can't ask for much more out of him for taking over when Andrew Luck said, I can't
do it anymore. Yeah, I'm done.
So I think they've done a magnificent job in Indianapolis as well.
Agreed. And I would say, yes, you're right. It's Kansas City or nobody for the Patriots. They just seem to be a cut above everyone. Not to say that, let's say, the Packers were somehow to win the NFC Championship, that they couldn't give them a game. But they keep bringing in people, bringing in people. Brady might play till he's 50 because the system is perfect for him, you know?
Can you imagine a Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady Super Bowl?
It would be great.
And I still say go back to 2014, and I know it's painful, but had the Packers won that game in Seattle, I believe they beat the Patriots.
Oh, I do. I'm with you.
I really did.
We were all making our plane reservations, weren't we? And that was a game that, you know, put it on Mike, put it on the players. Obviously some fluke plays, including the onside kick, but they played after that big lead not to lose.
Right.
Oh, that was just
– there was a three series in that third quarter that Mike kind of took his foot off the gas and allowed them momentum swings.
No.
But still, Bostic doesn't grab that ball and Jordy Nelson gets it. Micah Hyde isn't coming off the field on a two-point conversion. Yep. You don't have Clay Matthews pulling himself out of the game. You know, you don't have Julius Peppers telling Morgan Burnett to go down.
Yep.
And, I mean, he had daylight ahead of him.
Can't you envision all of that? Just, you know, the fake punt and everything else.
I think that's the one game short of maybe 4th and 26. Has there been another
game in your career? Those two in, you know, 35 years or so I was blessed to hang around, those two games – stick at the craw. Because, again, opportunities lost.
Right.
Bill, how often do those opportunities happen?
You don't. I wish, you know, coaches, guys in the organization, they can tell players when you had opportunities, and the players can go, oh, okay. But I wish they'd come to us and say, we were sitting right there. We're all dialing up the reservations. We were all figuring out how we were going to get to the Super Bowl. And then we watched it all get frittered away. And we've been here watching this team, critiquing this team, breaking it down, talking about it. And we've been here longer than coaches. We've been here longer than assistant coaches. We've been here longer than the owner.
You have a big picture perspective.
And we've got it from the very beginning, and we're telling you how hard it is to get back.
That's
so you damn well better not
the
waste
moment,
the opportunity.
Right?
Absolutely.
And you know, Bill, okay, a lot of things happen that factor in. But since that game, it just hasn't been the same. I don't know if the organization has completely recovered.
Right.
And obviously all sorts of changes since then, and we'll see. But that was that just hurt.
It still hurts.
When we bring it up, it hurts.
Oh, yeah. I always think of whenever it comes to great players, average players, or bad players that talk to you. I still, the words of the great Marty Brenneman ring in my ear when he got into the argument with Ken Griffey Jr. and said, son, I was here before you, and I'm going to be here long after you, and I've seen more baseball than you've ever wanted to play, and I know what the hell I'm talking about. And that left it as a couple of choice words in the tunnel. He's a good friend of yours.
Absolutely. One of the best.
And that's the way I feel, because we've seen so much go through the organization, and think about all that has changed.
Right.
You know, when I got here, Bo Ryan was taking over at UWM. Tom Crean was becoming the head coach. Wayne Larrabee was becoming the voice. Ray Rhodes was the new head coach of the Packers. Scrap Iron got fired. Yep. You know, and look where we are today. And we've seen all that. I wish we could just say, hey, you know, go back last year for the Brewers. You got to take advantage of the opportunity. For the Packers, you got to take advantage of the opportunity. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to start looking around the rest of the NFL, taking some picks, including tonight's game between the Broncos and the Chiefs. We'll start out there. Hang in there. We got a lot more, including Bucks basketball out here on the tube, as well as the Bucks in exhibition season tonight against the Timberwolves down at the Fiserv Forum. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. We are enjoying ourselves out here at Joe Mama's. You should be too. Come on by and say hello, and if you can't make it tonight, this is a tremendous place, a bunch of great people. Thanks to Mike from Heartland, who came over and said hi. We got so many people that have come up and said hello to us, Tom, and they love the podcast and love you and remember the days of Fox 6, and you're an icon, man.
Well, you're kind
of. How long were you on TV at Fox 6?
It was about 33 years plus. I don't know if you recall, but I started at Channel 4 at the end of 81.
I think everybody started or ended at Channel 4.
Right. I said the only promotion I ever had in almost 40 years in the business, I moved two notches up the dial from 4 to 6. Back in the day when you could turn the dial.
You know what I saw the other day? A friend of mine sent me a picture. You met my buddy Scotty.
Yeah, good man.
Send me a picture of you and George Grant doing ESPN original.
Goodness.
Yeah,
yeah.
He said, "See
Giorgio from Cincinnati."
I gotta pull that up. But George,
Reds
long time Reds announcer,
great,
still
man.
Does some part time stuff.
One of the nicest guys.
Also the inductor for Baseball Hall of Fame. Correct me if I'm wrong. He does a lot
yes,
of speeches.
He does.
Yes,
you're 100% right.
So. Yeah.
Working with Chris Boomer, he was the best. Chris Berman and Bobby Lee, who had a wonderful career.
Right, right.
But it was George who said to me when I was leaving for Milwaukee, said, Pip, he said, the people of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and you know this, Bill, and you've earned their trust. They're great people. They're hardworking people, but they're no frills. You know, they're authentic.
Right.
If you're who you are, if you're real with them and you work hard, you will earn their trust. And if you earn their trust, they will be there because they're loyal. And I'm not speaking about me, but I can turn it to you and say, yes, that's what you've done.
My first 3 or 4 days on the air, because when I got hired, nobody even knew I was hired. I was telling you this story. Nobody knew I was even coming into the building. And I got there, and you know me, I'm playing Rush and Metallica, and I'm playing – this is coming on the fact that you got Gordon Hinckley playing Ode to Beauty and Classical, and people are calling in going, who the hell is this guy, you know? But one of the best things I ever did was I hearkened back to my dad, and my dad always said, people love to tell you about their town and themselves, shut up. But you can't shut up doing a talk show. Mm-hmm. The first couple of days on the air, and I was still acclimating myself. Now, I grew up in a household that my mom and dad loved Bart Starr, so watching Packers football was natural whenever they were on. My mom loved Al McGuire. Mm-hmm. She was between him and Digger Phelps, Jesuit all the way, Catholic, you know.
Yeah.
So she loved that. We obviously had the NL Central team in Cincinnati, so I'd followed that. I was in the Big Ten, so I followed that. So I knew a lot of things. We had the Cincinnati Cyclones. They played the Admirals, so I even knew the Admirals, you know. So as I got here, one thing I said was, I don't know the state. So we would do segments of, we can talk X, which was Packers and Favre and whatever, or tell me about where you're from. Overwhelmingly, for 3 days, we had people calling up saying, did you know this? Did you know why the bridges are cockeyed in downtown Milwaukee? Did you know the oldest high school rivalry in football, the third oldest in the country, is Menominee Marinette?
Incredible.
You know, and did you know this the big Oktoberfest going on La Crosse? And then we had them calling in from everywhere. It was amazing. So all of a sudden you were being able to reference all this stuff, and people were like, okay, he does give two blanks about us, you know. And that's how I did it.
How much gratitude you have to have, right, Bill? You do something you love to do.
Right.
You're gifted at it.
Right.
And the best people in the world are out there, the people of southeastern Wisconsin, as you found with your network, all over the state. And that's just a fact. So when somebody comes up and says thank you, it's an opportunity to say, hey, thank you for being out there.
Well,
the people coming up to you tonight.
Isn't that awkward? You know, it's like, thank you. And I'm thinking, I get paid for this. This is like stupid.
Right.
This is, you know.
And it doesn't happen without you out there listening.
No, I could I could be digging a ditch in a polar vortex, for God's sakes, and then falling in it dead.
And I'd be your assistant.
Exactly. We'd be two dead bodies. They dig up in the spring, both ass up, hoping that flowers aren't coming out of us, you know? I mean, that's the kind of, and we get to do this. So, you look, we're kind of getting off on a tangent here, but. It's amazing when you go out to different places and you see all these different things.
Best
and
people
your
in the world within the sound of our voices.
Yeah,
right?
it's awesome.
And let me just say one more thing, okay?
Sure.
And I say it a lot on and off the air. Bill Michaels, ladies and gentlemen, you know him. Why I love him is one of the best friends I have in this media business in all these years is because of his heart for great causes and charity. And that heart is even bigger than his 6'6", 280-pound, in-shape frame. And I applaud you for it. You have impacted so many. And when it's all said and done in life, it's all about relationships and people you have touched.
Yep.
And, my friend, you continue to touch a lot of them. You have my undying respect for that, and I think you know it's heartfelt.
I know it's heartfelt, and it's also coming from that pitcher of margaritas we had. Years ago.
You are supposed to say, that's right. That's where that was born,
and
wasn't it?
I said, I'll buy another round, and I went home in on that. We go now around the rest of the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. Broncos now up 6-0 early on in this contest. Chiefs needing a win, coming off of back-to-back losses, sitting at 4-2. Broncos at 2-4. Broncos need to win as much as the Chiefs do in this one. Even though the Broncos are at home, I got to think Kansas City is going to try to turn this thing around, even though they're pretty banged up right now.
I'm still going to take
Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, let's go with the Chiefs.
Then you got the Rams. They're on the road. They're taking on the Falcons. The Rams, surprisingly, at 3-3, but But Jalen Ramsey's the trade. They got a middle linebacker now. You've got the Falcons, who are 1-5, and even though the Falcons are playing at home in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Rams need this one. They've got new energy now, and I have no idea what happened. As a matter of fact, Kansas City just scored here, 6-6 now. I have no idea what's happened to Matt Ryan and company.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. There's nothing more I can say. I'm absolutely shocked at their record. What are they, 1-5?
One and five.
And you would think that the Rams are going to get going. They're too good a team, even with the injury issues they have had. So let's go with the Rams on
you
the
know,
road.
You know, we were in Super Bowl in Atlanta this year, and it's opening night, and they do that opening night now on Monday night. And we're inside the basketball arena. We're next door to the Mercedes-Benz Arena, or maybe Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're inside the basketball arena. And I'm standing there, and this guy walks over to me and says, "How do you like my city?" And it's Arthur Blank.
Wow.
And I tell you what, I became a Falcons fan at that point. The guy is so genuine
he
and
seems
so
to
nice.
Be just little, you
and
know,
the
watch
fact
him on
that
TV,
he could give me a discount
talk.
On a bathtub and cabinets at Home Depot. I'm telling you.
Now that's a great combination
that's a
there.
Combination
nice guy, there. That's okay. But the discount?
You know, if your team just stinks and it's just bad and you want to flush it down, you can buy the toilet at Home Depot and I'll give you a discount on it. So we're going to go ahead and say the Falcons are going to take a loss in this one. Then you've got the 0-5 Dolphins, the 4-1 Bills playing in Buffalo. No brainer. Dolphins, that's just a terrible football team. Yeah. Buffalo Bills go to 5-1.
Yep. That's all I can say.
Jacksonville playing a bad Bengals team. I don't know if Minshew Mania is able to sustain in Cincinnati. This is where I'm going to actually – I haven't picked the Bengals all season long. Bengals get their first win of the season right here. They knock off Jacksonville.
I was looking at this one earlier, not extensively, but looking at it, I'm saying I think it's going to happen. Finally, Dalton and company
they
get a W.
They had Cincinnati Bengal toilet paper, and you were looking at it. That's exactly what you were doing.
There it is.
The Vikings at 4-2. This is a good game. Vikings at 4-2 inside the dome. I'm taking the Lions at home to go to 3-2-1. Vikings go to 4-3. I'm going to like the – because Vikings, one thing, they're only scoring 16.6 points per game on the road, and the Lions are coming off of a hard loss in Green Bay. I'm taking the Lions in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I was really impressed with the Vikings, but you said it earlier, and you have to say 100% right on, and that is that they're just not the same team on the road.
Yep.
So there's a lot of talent on that Lions team. We talked about Matt Patricia. They're making progress. They've had a couple of real good wins, and let's look for them to get a third.
Texans, Deshaun Watson and company on the road taking on Jacoby Brissett. This is almost a flip them for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to bet against the Texans. J.J. Watt's healthy and feeling really good. The defense is playing well. I just don't think the Colts are yet, even though I like them, I don't think they're real. I think the Texans are a real football team. I'm going to go with the Texans on the road.
That's if the Texans are at home, I go right away. Starting to kind of vacillate back and forth. I'm going to say the Colts might pull this one out at home.
Tom Pippen's on this program using a big word like vacillate. No one got it. Everybody pulled out their thesaurus.
Well, what does that mean, by the way?
I have no idea.
Did I say that, Mike?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And you got the Cardinals, 2-3-1 on the road against the Giants, who are 2-4. I'm going to take the Cardinals. Another road team, but I'm taking the Cardinals. I just every time I pick the Giants, they lose, so I'm just going to go against them. What the hell?
I like the kid Jones. They're at home. I want to agree with you, but I'm just going to, just for the sake of disagreeing politely.
No, go ahead.
Let's go with the Giants at home.
Then you've got the 5-0 49ers, who again get a cupcake in the 1-5 Washington Redskins. West Coast to East Coast, even though normally I bet against this, I don't care. The 49ers have our defense. It is for real. They're going to beat the Redskins, and they're going to beat the hell out of them.
I'm back on the big unit ship.
There you go.
Niners.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. We are broadcasting live here at Joe Mama's. That's where you can find us out here in Colgate. Come on by and say hi. We'll round out the rest of the NFL schedule, including the Green Bay Packers at home against the Oakland Raiders, who come in at 3-2. We got a lot more coming up. Final segment right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live here at Joe Mama's. We're here in Colgate. Tomorrow night, I'm being told that we are going to be doing the Lodge Kohler kickoff up at Lodge Kohler, and we've got a former Green Bay Packer, George Koontz, is going to be our
good
guest
man.
Tomorrow night.
Good man.
George is going to be there, so we're going to be talking with him. So looking forward to that. So that's going to be happening tomorrow. We're going to tape it from 5 to 6. It airs from 6 to 7. So if you're going to be up in Green Bay tomorrow, be a face in the crowd. Come on by Lodge Kohler at about 5. And that show is really cool because originally when they told me, hey, it's on Friday, I'm like, oh, crap. You know?
Yeah.
And what they do is.
But you're having fun, right?
But this is between you and me, which we're doing it on the microphone.
And so the listeners.
And the
They're
listeners.
Family.
They give away wine.
Seriously.
So I'm not kidding. What they do is. They do it in.
My wife just woke up from a deep slumber.
Because she's had a lot of wine. What they do is we do it in leaps and bounds downstairs at Lodge Kohler, and they come out with this big tray. They're one of the only places around that does wine through an actual dispensary.
Really?
Through out of like a
cap. It's got to be interesting to see, yeah.
So they get these
And you can see that?
Oh, yeah. These high-end 93-plus rated wines, and each week they introduce a different one and how to taste the flavors and this and that. So it's a fireside chat. With wine. And they give everybody one. That's it's not like you come in and you got to get a ticket or something. I mean, anybody that's there, they come out with these giant goblets of wine. And if you want another one, take another one.
We have plans tomorrow night, but they may be changing.
It's
up I-43 north we go. Willie will be with you.
It is as cool as cool gets.
Yeah.
And everybody comes and they're sipping wine and pinkies are out and we're talking football.
It's beautiful.
You know, and then there's me, you know.
Yeah.
You know, belch every now and then.
And you've taken that show to another level. It's a real good show.
It's
always
so
had,
much
but you
fun.
Really,
so
yeah.
We always get something out of it where you can go back to, and you know, doing interviews that you sometimes somebody will say something and you go, huh, and then later down the road you go, this was foreshadowing. You know, we got in a couple weeks ago when Alan Lazard was on, and he said, you know, I've been really trying to work with Aaron and talking about Aaron Rodgers. I went to him. I finally just said, man, I got to get on the same page. I got to get with you, you know, that
Good
type
for
of
him.
Thing. And then they started doing what him and JerMichael Finley were doing, where they're meeting at Friday nights or Saturday nights. And he just, you know, he said, it's not that I want to take anything away from anybody, but I know I got skills. I know I can do this. I want to be prepared. If they call my number, I want to be ready to go. And I want to make sure Aaron trusts me. So he went to Aaron. So then you see Aaron go to the sideline on Monday night and go, get that guy.
Yeah.
I need him.
And if he doesn't say that, maybe they don't win that game.
Right. So he goes over and says, hey, give me Allen. Put Allen in. Allen comes back to the huddle after the first pass and says, I got this guy. I can beat him. Yeah. And then he goes, okay, go beat him. I'll throw you the football. Touchdown. So isn't it amazing when we're sitting there talking to this guy? This is why I say listen to this, because you just never know when something they drop is going to then foreshadow to what it is you're going to see on the football field a little bit later. It's just it's always so cool. Let's get back to it real quick. You've got the games. Chargers 2-4 in the season, going up against the Titans 2-4 in the season. I thought Phillip Rivers would be a lot better in this one. I'm going to take the Chargers coming into Tennessee. I'm not a fan of what's going on down there right now, even though Nashville's a tremendous city. I'm going to take the Chargers to go to 3-4.
I'm with you. They've benched Mariota, apparently, and so I think the Chargers are going to get one. They have underperformed this season, I believe. Melvin Gordon is back, right?
Yes. This may be the coffin in the nail in the coffin of the Chicago Bears. The Saints come in at 5-1. An amazing job that Teddy Bridgewater has done taking over for Drew Brees. The Bears are teetering right now. A few losses. They just got beat over in London. They've had a while to think about it. Trubisky looks as if he's going to be coming back. But I'm going to take the Saints and that defense to beat up on what the Bears are going to offer out of Mitch Trubisky. I'm going to take the Saints to go to 6-1. The Bears go to 500 on the season.
We know about Teddy Bridgewater. He almost lost his leg in a freak accident, an injury in the practice field, lost his starting job. He comes back. It's a marvelous story, human interest story. Yeah, the Saints have been astounding, and they're going to be continuing to hit their stride and wait till Drew Brees gets back and gets healthy. I'm going with the Saints, too, on the road. Bears going to go to 3-3.
Yeah, the Ravens are on the road at 4-2. The Seahawks are 5-1 at home. As much as I hope the Ravens get the win, I'm going to take the Seahawks, only for the fact that the Seahawks are playing at home. It's so tough for East Coast teams to go to the West Coast. I'm going to take the Seahawks at home to go to 6-1. Ravens go to 4-3.
As you say, Wilson is, what, 15 TD passes, no picks,
yeah,
but against inferior comp, he's a winner. I mean, the former Badger is a winner. Ravens are a tough team, but because they're at home, I'm going to say, yep, Seattle.
2-3-3 teams. The Eagles on the road against the Cowboys. Cowboys struggling right now. They're not playing really good football. I'm taking the Eagles down in Big D to go ahead and knock them off yet again.
Amari Cooper got hurt. I don't know if he's still out. They don't have their tackles. Let's go with Philly.
And what a job Doug Peterson has done there.
He's been an outstanding coach.
Remember the days of sitting in the locker next to him and next to Favre and just kind of talking? And he's one of those guys. He reminds me of like Tommy Lasorda. Never good enough to really be that great guy playing the game, but knew it.
Yes.
And then Lasorda goes on to be a terrific manager, even though he wasn't a great player.
Right.
You know, that type
That's
of thing.
He connects with people.
That's
he's a good
exactly
guy.
Exactly right.
Yep.
And then you've got the Patriots. It's this just sucks.
You know, I keep waiting. Somebody's got to beat them. And the Jets are coming off a win, right?
The only way the Patriots lose this game is if they blow out all the tires and bus on the way to the game. And the Cavs can't take them because there's a strike in New York. The Patriots at 6-0 taking on the New York Jets at 1-4.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they finally got a win. The Jets,
could pick
right?
This in a bathroom. This is an easy game.
I agree with you. I mean, it's that would be the upset of all upsets.
Oh, that would be enormous. Yeah. The only way they win that game is if something happens to Tom Brady and you get a couple of key injuries. Mm-hmm. Then the Raiders come into Lambeau Field on Sunday. That is going to be a noon kickoff. 3-2 the Raiders are, coming off of a win from London in which they beat the Chicago Bears. The Packers eke one out on Monday night against the Detroit Lions, 23-22. They are 5-1. As much as I believe the Raiders are still going to pose a threat, I think it's going to be close. I'm going to take the Packers in this one. 27-21, Packers get a win in this ballgame.
That feels pretty good to me. I think that defense continues to play at a high level. Hopefully Alan Lazard is for real, and we'll see more of him because, as you have said before, there are a lot of banged-up receivers, not the least of which is Davante Adams. But let's get the Pack going to 6-1, 1-down, and see how they do with that road stretch.
I'll go further in this one. You've got 23 carries from Aaron Jones.
He's going to bounce back.
122 yards, carry the ball, and I'm going to say 45 yards and a touchdown.
The Raiders' defense is pretty good against the run, they say, but not good against the pass. So maybe they set up the pass and then, all right.
I think he's going to get
He's going to bounce back.
And I also see Jamal Williams ending up with about 60 yards in this ball game as well.
If they do that, it's going to be a W
they'll
for
be,
sure.
They'll be going all over the place, so it'll be great. It's always fun, Tom. I always appreciate this, man.
You know what, buddy? I've had more fun today than an old fart deserves, and it was just fantastic to be with you, the great people here at Joe Mama's and Colgate. We'll be back, and thank you for having my beautiful wife, Sally, and my good friend, Tommy, your number one fan. And
Tommy,
Mike, all you great people here at Joe Mama's, you're the best.
It's been a great time. Thanks for hanging out with us. And,
thanks, Bill.
The fact that Tom
great
brought up an old fart, it's time for us to go.
That salad was good, though, buddy, and you recommended it.
I told you. You just ate. You should have ate it with a straw. You were just inhaling that thing. So it's time for us to go. Thanks to Bud Light for being our sponsor. Thanks to Joe and his staff. They're tremendous out here at Joe Mama's. They're tremendous people. We certainly appreciate them. And thanks to all of you for hanging out with us. Don't forget again tomorrow night, Lodge Kohler kickoff gets underway at 5 o'clock. George Koontz is going to be our guest there. Airs from 6 to 7 on many of these same stations. And we appreciate everybody along the network lines taking a listen to us as well. Tomorrow on the program, by the way, on the Bill Michaels Show, I will not be there. Kevin Holden will be there. He's taking over, but it's a whole day of Packers talk. Also getting ready for the Badgers this weekend as well. So Badgers are fighting a Lionel.
You don't want to overlook them.
No,
yeah, they say, let's get to 1-0, like Matt LaFleur.
You got a craptastic Lovie Smith team, and you got to get past, and then you got to get to Ohio State, and then we'll see what
happens. Hey, Bill, keep shining, buddy. You're the best.
I will certainly try to. Time for us to go. Have a going. Sleep.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.